In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, during the season of Septuagesima, we prepare for Lent by hearing several of the more well-known parables of our Blessed Lord. Today, on this Sexagesima Sunday, we hear this familiar parable of the sower and the seed. Now, when we read or listen to these parables, we have to understand that they're not meant to be understood as bedtime stories or as Aesop's fables, catchy little stories with a moral message. These are all parables of the kingdom of God, and the one who speaks the parables is the Word of God Himself, incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. And they tell us a little bit about ourselves and certainly what we need to do to get to heaven. Now, the parable of today's gospel helps us to understand that in the sight of God, our work draws their true worth from His grace. And if one is to win a reward from God, one must be able to offer not a good work in itself, but a good work which has been elevated and enlivened by His grace. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that a virtue is a good habit, productive of good works. So we're all capable of natural virtues. We can practice justice, prudence, fortitude, temperance, for example. But in order for a virtue to be meritorious for our salvation, it has to be guided and elevated by supernatural grace. So our Blessed Lord teaches us in this parable that we're all capable of the reception of grace, but it's only effective insofar as we're properly disposed in order for it to elevate our natural virtue to merit for eternal life. Now, Jesus told us in last Sunday's gospel that we're each called to go out and to work in the Lord's vineyard, that it's not the length of labor that is blessed, but how we dispose ourselves to the grace of God when we labor, which further perfects everything that we do. Remember that grace builds on nature and perfects it. When we think of all the aids we have in our spiritual life, we believe that we should make more apparent progress. However, depending on our own dispositions, our own personality, our own temperament, our own character, or even the example we're given, we each respond to the grace of God in our own way, in different ways. So there are several factors that support this consistent resistance we have to God's grace. First, to understand the fact that Christian virtue is made difficult due to our fallen nature. And secondly, that there are no holidays in the service of God. We can't take a vacation from God or doing our part, making the effort in the spiritual life. Our service to Him begins with the awakening of reason, when a child has the necessary knowledge of God and His commandments and can distinguish between good and evil. Then he must begin to serve God, and this service lasts a lifetime. Christ demands this continuing service to Him. He says, "No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of Luke. Now both the epistle and the Gospel today point out well for the need of labor and effort amidst the many dangers to the spiritual life, and there are many. So in the parable, the seed fell where they were eaten by birds, or they fell on dry ground, or they fell in among the thorns. We have to contend with those things which keep us from God, which keep us from doing His will. St. Paul talks about this, the world, the flesh, and the devil. St. Paul taught us about the constant battle to subject the body to the spirit and that the only way we can do this is through relying completely on God's grace. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. So we too have to labor. Not only the labor that gains us the necessities of life and some comforts in life, but the labor of our salvation, which is the most important thing. And this can only come through disposing ourselves to God's grace. Self-denial, we know, is essential in our spiritual life. It's essential in our life as Catholics. It's what we're all about. Self-denial, self-mastery, self-control. Without it, we will fail. Tepidity or lukewarmness may very well be, for many of us, the starting point of this new year, but it doesn't have to be that way. We often fall victim to inordinate self-love, the self-love that makes us more indulgent to ourselves than we really deserve, with the result that God and our neighbor are deprived of the love that we owe them. Inordinate self-love makes us seek always what is special, what is peculiar. It makes us want to be different, to attract attention to ourselves, to be in control, which means I need to run the show. It makes us think ourselves important or privileged when we're not, and we hear a lot about that today, the privileged. We're not privileged. And all that unhealthy self-love, which is often the source of much interior disquiet, fear, and disillusionment, and it breeds selfishness and a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of disobedience. The world and the devil can harm us only when they find within us an enemy with whom they can make an alliance. So the world around us, for the most part, doesn't foster or encourage virtue, especially today. Virtue, responsibility, consequences for our choices. We want to become saints, but as it is, without paying the price, without paying the price in effort and self-discipline. We want to acquire virtue without practicing mortification. We like to believe that we're advancing in holiness just so long as we're not contradicted or no one tells us what to do. We reach humble, provided our conduct is not questioned in any way. To forget oneself for the love of God and neighbor, to limit excess luxury, to simplify our lives and be free from the accumulation of material things is a good start. It's a necessary start. We may fall into the trap that the more we have, the better off we are, or the more we have, maybe the longer we'll live. Not so. The principle of the common use of goods and work for the benefit of our neighbor is nothing new. We hear in the Old Testament Tobias on giving advice to his son, told him clearly, eat thy bread with the hungry and give to the needy, and with thy garments cover the naked. Christ also counsels us, the man who has two coats must share with the man who has none, and the man who has food to eat must do the like. Giving to the poor and needy, giving alms, it's one of the parts of our Lenten discipline, is stressed in Scripture, and it reaches its high point at the Last Judgment, when our works of charity performed for the love of God, are seen in their true worth. That most of the work in the campaign against this inordinate self-love can be done by God Himself. We have to let God do the work. I say this all the time in confession. He can take us into His own love and care and train us in His school, the school of exterior sufferings, of difficulties, of failures, of disappointments, but we have to learn by them. And we have to use them to our advantage, to our spiritual advantage. In this way, God gives us a deep and salutary knowledge of our own nothingness and instability. And he frees us gradually from this false self-admiration, conceit, and pride. It's a painful process, certainly, but one that's necessary if we're going to be formed in the way of perfection, if we're going to advance in holiness. God shows us what we have to do, and certainly he presents us with all the opportunities, but it's up to us to recognize them and to exercise our will so that we can use them to advance in holiness. So, during this preparation for our Lenten discipline, we consider the task which is before us, as we do every year. Certainly some things we can do. We can include a particular virtue to practice, an extra devotion to pray, such as attending Mass during the week, perhaps, in addition to our regular Sunday obligation, praying an extra decade of the Rosary for the souls in purgatory, or for the conversion of sinners, perhaps keeping the traditional discipline of fasting every day during Lent, denying ourselves that extra cup of coffee or that piece of candy, forego using salt in our meals, or eating something perhaps we would rather not eat. All these things we can do. We might want to include a practical penance of almsgiving, perhaps giving away extra clothes or things we really don't need or don't use to someone who might need them. So, my friends, we ask Christ today to dispose our souls so as to respond to his grace so that we can root out the real problems which have settled into our souls. And this would be certainly an excellent intention for which we can offer our Lenten sacrifices and enable us to continue to work and to work well in the Lord's vineyard so that we can bring forth fruit 4, 8, and 10-fold. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.